We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, after last week, I racked up 5 points with the first Moneyball victory of the entire year, which is kind of pathetic since we get to pick that game.
That's worth two. Yep.
Yeah, and we get to pick it ourselves. Like, we get to pick the game we use. You got 5 points. You had a pretty solid day. Donnie, now in a world of hurt, only got 2 points. You have 13 for the year. I have 10. Donnie has 8. Andrew, I tip my cap to you, and the tee box is yours.
First game?
Minnesota versus New Orleans. Why is this? These two cities been named as the sites where they could play a Tampa Bay-Kansas City game this week, if need be? Because they're both over in foggy London town, and the Vikings are 2.5-point favorites, Pony.
And I see that for New Orleans, Jameis Winston, my guy, has missed the last couple days of practice. I think that's actually a good thing. Jameis has gone back to interception, happy Jameis, turnover-prone Jameis. But that's because I think I heard someone say Sunday that he has a broken back.
He has 4 fractured vertebrae in his
So back. You have a halfway decent backup in Andy Dalton who really doesn't turn the ball over that much. There's less big play. But just get the ball to the playmakers more effectively. Get a pitch and catch with Olave. Do a pitch and catch with Thomas. Do a pitch and catch with Kamara. And I'm getting 2.5. I'm going to take the Saints, Malzi.
I'm going to take the Vikings. They shouldn't have beaten the Lions. Like, so this is going to be sort of counterintuitive. They should not have beaten Detroit. Dan Campbell, if he just punts or just goes for it, I think the Lions have a much better chance of ultimately winning that game. However, Kirk Cousins, 458 yards and 2 touchdowns the last time he played in London. The only other time he played in London.
When the Steelers played the Vikings in London, do you remember who Minnesota's starting quarterback was?
It was a hilariously, like, nobody of a name. Was it Castle?
Yes, it was.
I knew it.
Check out the big brain on Malzi.
Yeah, so Cousins.
Do you know what Minnesota's record was in that game?
0-3.
You know what the Steelers was?
0-3.
Let's go, Malzi!
A battle of winless teams.
You know what also happened that weekend?
In, like, the world?
Yeah.
What year was that, 13?
Yep.
And it would have been the fourth, late September of 2013.
Or maybe early October.
Oh, Cueto.
Yes! Cueto. 3 for 3!
Yeah, that was a little of a cheap hint. Yeah.
All right, so you're taking the Vikings, Donnie?
Taking the Vikings. He had 458 and 2 tutties when he played there in London in 16, so I think he's going to play well. They've got way more in the way of playmakers, too.
Donald?
I'm going to go with the Vikings here, too. Even though they sort of escaped playing against the Lions, I think Justin Jefferson, this might be a week to break out. He was great in week one. He got the clamps on him the last 2 weeks. I'm going to go with the Vikings here. Kirk Cousins is awful in primetime. Maybe he'll do better whenever he's playing at 9 in the morning.
By the way, last time the Vikings played the Saints, something else historical happened. Either of you know?
The Minneapolis Miracle?
No.
What?
Alvin Kamara, NFL record-tying 6
right.
rushing touchdowns.
That's right. Browns -1.5 at the Falcons, Malzi.
I think this is a weird game. I think it's a weird line. I think the Falcons are a lot better than people are giving them credit for.
What?
I do.
Okay.
They're an odd little team that I kind of like. So
an
what
odd little team?
Well, because they got a 31-year-old converted wide receiver who's suddenly averaging 6.5 a carry as a running back and has morphed into that over the last couple of years in a very exceptional way.
Okay.
The thing that the Browns used besides their running game to beat the Steelers was Amari Cooper. You know what the Falcons have? Maybe the most underappreciated great corner in the league.
AJ Terrell.
They can put somebody on Cooper who could probably lock him up. I actually like this to be the rare instance where 1.5, the hook gets me. Cleveland wins by 1, but Atlanta covers. God.
Donnie?
Malzie, I'm with you here. For whatever reason, it doesn't really make sense. It seems like Cleveland, they had the 10 days off. They know what they are. They have their identity, which we've talked about a lot this week. I like Atlanta here for whatever reason. Maybe not to win outright, but like you said, they somehow maybe lose by a point, like a 21-20 game.
I will gladly fade you guys. If you're trying to thread the needle that the Browns win the game by only 1 point, to me, that's illogical that you're predicting a game on the nuts there at like 21-20. No, I think the Browns go to Atlanta and win, and it's probably by more than a touchdown.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
3 days away from Steelers-Jets, a game that might define the Steelers' season, a loss, and that would start the unraveling and the calls for Tomlin's first losing season as Steelers coach. A win, and you just try to weather the storm with T.J. Watt out, but a return right around the corner, and hoping you can just tread water through the most difficult stretch of the Steelers' season. We're at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. In 15 minutes, Cordell Stewart going to join us. Cordell coming to town for the game. Such an important game with so much on the line. Cordell wants to see it in person. And so we're excited to talk to him like we always do at 3:30 on Thursdays. Matt Canada, we call this segment Canada's Calls, which are much better than the calls he makes on game day because it includes us. We get to put our two cents in. Malzi, me, Donnie, listeners. And that worked last week when we heard Canada talk. Then we said, no, this is what should happen. And for a little while there, Canada took our advice. The clip we heard to start the segment from Canada made it very clear that he is doing or attempting to do what Mike Tomlin wants him to do. That Tomlin is saying that this whole let's win with defense, let's not try to screw it up offensively, that is really coming from the coach. Mm-hmm. It's his offense. He's the smartest guy I've ever worked for. We're doing it the way he wants to do it. We're trying to move it in that direction. Last year, Chris, it was perceived that they couldn't do Canada's offense because of Ben. Now Canada's trying to put the perception that it's not even his offense this year. It's Tomlin's. It's what Tomlin wants.
I think it's Matt Canada's offense strained through the Mike Tomlin filter of, I swear to God, if you turn the ball over, I'm going to rip your head off, basically. So I do think it's Matt.
But he's straining everything out of it.
Well, I don't think there was much in it to begin with. Would you agree?
No.
Wasn't much to strain. But whatever was
a pretty crappy coach.
Whatever was in there that was useful has been largely neutered out of the offense because the head coach really does seem to believe that as long as his team plays turnover-free, the game will come down to the last 5 minutes or thereabouts, and he likes his chances there. Sorry, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't like your chances because I don't trust your quarterback. And by the way, when it was 6 minutes to go in the Patriots game and it was a field goal game, you got absolutely face-washed by their running game. The Browns did the same thing to you for basically the entire fourth quarter. And but by the grace of a couple unbelievably lucky breaks in the Bengals game, you'd be 0-3. So the keep it close to the end philosophy, which is what I really believe Mike Tomlin was shooting for this year, has fallen dreadfully flat.
All right, so we have more clips sent back to us on Matt Canada, from Matt Canada. Jeff was there. Josh was there. They got this audio from us. Donnie has found it, and he's going to take us through some of these. What's the next one, Donnie?
Complimentary football is a big deal. Coach is the smartest football guy I've ever been around. We have a plan every week. Part of it is you got to get a first, you know, you have to have a first down to do it. We go out there and go fast on three plays and have the ball for 30 seconds, and they just came off with a 10-12 play drive. How's that going to go? A very loaded question. Appreciate the question.
What was that one labeled, Donnie?
That was called Tomlin Doesn't Want a Lot of Tempo.
Got to worry about complimentary football, and what if we go three and out and the offense is only out when there for 12 seconds?
When you go three and out and you're doing it out of a traditional huddle, what does that gain you? An extra 90 seconds for your defense to rest? I hate that.
Do you know how many Steelers fans have to hear that? We have such sharp, astute listeners. So many of them have to hear that clip and think, what happened to Mr. Don't Live in His Fears? Like, everything now is couched with offensively. How is it going to negatively affect our defense? How is it going to, like, it's all about the negative or the cons of something. Not about what can go right, but being worried about what can go wrong, Chris.
It's this, yes, I mean, Mr. Live in His Fears, Don't Live in His Fears clearly does so and has done so for a while now. The thing that gets me is this obsession with complimentary football. How about you score? You know what is very complimentary to a defense? Scoring some bleeping points.
It's almost like you don't want to score a touchdown too fast.
You've
got to put that defense back out there right after a quick strike touchdown. That's not good complimentary football.
It's the football equivalent of, and I know you've heard this, when a team is down like three runs in the ninth inning, and a guy
don't hit a home run. Just
guy
hit him
leads
on base.
The inning off with a solo home run. They go, well, that's a rally killer. You're down one less run, and you still have no outs. They're like, no, you'd rather have a double. Really get some things happening on the diamond. We're laughing here. We're kind of chuckling, but it really is frustrating to see Tomlin having sort of played himself into this ridiculous corner. Like the Mike Tomlin that took this team over, I don't think it was just because he had all those veterans. It was a big part of it was he had a very stocked cupboard. But he had a less experienced Ben than he would have later in his career. But he really did coach like a man with no fear.
I also
then.
Think that answer absolves Canada in a way, because I think there's some thought that the reason why Canada doesn't want the tempo is because the quarterback's making the calls. Yes, he's going off of a limited Canada play sheet, but he's making the decisions on what's being called when. Mm-hmm. And there's ego involved. Like, Canada doesn't want to give that to the quarterback.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to step to the side. Canada's making it sound like it's not, no, that's the coach. That's the head coach that doesn't want to do that. Not me. Don't blame me for the lack of tempo. Blame him. Go talk to him about that. Not me.
I'll tell you what, that'll make for a real interesting Mike Tomlin press conference after this game if somebody remembers that and says, hey, Matt,
they got to go tempo. They have to against the Jets team, Chris, that all of their guys were talking about after their loss to the Bengals.
Did you see
that they weren't on the same page and that they had communication issues up out to Wazoo?
I think this Jeff Ulrich guy or whatever is their D coordinator, right?
Yeah, Salah doesn't call the defensive plays there.
So this Jeff Ulrich guy, who I guess was the one arguing with Quinnen Williams, I don't know that much about the Jets coaches and what they look like other than Salah. So the quote I just saw come down, and I'm paraphrasing it, was this. He was asked about his like line rotations and stuff, and he said, sometimes I'll be out there and I'll want a guy like Quinnen Williams on the field, and I'll look over and he's on the sideline sucking wind. So they've got their defensive coordinator trashing one of their best defensive players.
A top five pick.
That is potentially very ugly stuff happening.
Imagine if Tomlin said that about T.J. Watt when he pats himself out.
Right. I mean, that's what it was. I'll find the quote and retweet it so people can see this, but like, they've got major issues over there with their defensive coordinator and with the way those players
relate. Go no huddle, speed them up, confuse
them. Put them in a panic mode.
Yep, right from the bat.
Put them in a panic mode because you know what else happens? What if Salah's like, screw this, I'm going to start taking control of this. Then you got like several cooks in the kitchen.
All right, what's the next cut called, Donnie? What's the next one labeled?
Our line is the best part of the offense.
Coming out of the Jacksonville preseason game when everything was, oh my gosh. I think our line has gotten better every week. Obviously, we have to maintain possession on the ball and stay on the field. But until we do those things and give them a chance to be out there more, I don't think you'll see everything we want to see. But I think the job they've done, I think we've got, five statistical sacks right now. None of them are on the line.
That last part?
You know what? Sometimes, there's two things I'll say, but the first one is sometimes Matt Canada calls a great play, and that was a great evaluation and a correct one of his line. The last part, though, I know why you highlighted it. That is a shot at two things. Primarily your quarterback, I would think, for holding onto the ball too long, but also maybe indirectly a shot at your wide receivers. Why aren't you getting open enough?
Yep, I agree with you.
But that is a pretty eye-opening statement.
So through
there.
Three games, he doesn't think the offensive line is allowed a single sack.
I mean, I think
maybe, could you imagine if I told you that before the season?
Can you disagree with that in any way? Maybe more, I thought, got pushed into it a little bit. But, like, even then,
I agree.
There has not been a single jailbreak. There's not been a single Trubisky drop back this year where he took the snap and I went, oh, bleep, he's going down. This is bad. That is unbelievable, given what they look
and
like.
Donnie, didn't you say you think the line has been the best part of their offense by far?
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt, it's the best part.
Yeah, Canada's right about that. He's seeing what we're all seeing. And you know what he sounded like there? The acknowledgement of what they were in the preseason. It sounds like he's, like, pleasantly surprised. You know what else he should be, though? Feeling some more scrutiny because of that. There is no net there underneath his bad offense.
Steelers still searching for their first win without T.J. Watt since the Defensive Player of the Year came into the league. Steelers are 0-6 without Watt, trying to avoid 0-7 3 days from now when the New York J-E-T-S, Jets, come to town. Not that far away from where we are right now at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. Chris, how many feet away from Acrisure Stadium would you say we are?
Oh, I would go with about 800 feet.
Okay.
800 feet.
That's it. Cordell Stewart coming to town for Steelers-Jets, taking part in the Steelers alumni event that goes on with this game, in conjunction with this game. Cordell on the line with us right now. Slash, our listeners submit questions that we usually don't ask you because they're not very good.
Right.
I know. And we've got a very smart audience, but sometimes these questions are just, I don't know where they come from. This one came from left field, but I actually like it. One of our listeners wants to know, Cordell Stewart, did you ever meet Coolio?
I did not meet Coolio. I did not have the opportunity. I'm talking about the rapper Coolio. I did not meet Coolio.
Yes, R.I.P.
Like, his music was good, but I never met Coolio. That was a left field question, but I never met the Coolio.
Was Cordell Stewart ever cool with any big name celebrities, any Hollywood stars ever tight with Cordell Stewart?
Well, Gwyneth Paltrow was a friend. Had a chance to sign an autographed football when she did A Perfect Murder. I remember doing my commercial, the Blitz commercial, when I was eating the nails and all that good stuff. Had a chance to hang out with her, Denzel Washington, as a good friend. I know him. A few people I had an opportunity to have some encounters with during the time, but, you know, not that many, just a couple.
Denzel.
One's more than
Cordell,
nothing.
Denzel, like, counts for, like, 8 Hollywood stars, but I got to be honest with you, I make a little bingo card of, like, things that might come up on the show, and you knowing Gwyneth Paltrow because of A Perfect Murder, Viggo Mortensen, Michael Douglas, did not have that on today's bingo card, Cordell.
Hey, man, I mean... That probably wasn't, but Coolio was on the list, though, huh?
Well, you guys were both big stars in the 90s. You guys back in the 90s, you were both on a rocket ship to fame, you and Coolio.
Yeah, we were, but not Coolio, though. I mean, not Coolio. No, not Coolio. I'm sorry. Right. Coolio wasn't on that list. You're taking my dates way, way back when you said Coolio, by the way. You know.
Wait, are we getting the Coolio era mixed up here? Like, are
Coolio
we
was a late 90s guy. Cordell's
no,
a late
he was,
90s
he was a
guy.
Late 90s. I was a late 90s guy. I was right in that era. I mean, I was right in that era.
Okay.
But, you know.
All right.
Yeah. But it wasn't
nothing to take offense to.
I mean, you know, no, not even a little bit. No, Coolio was good. I like Coolio. Pretty nice.
Cordell, when you come to town on Sunday, what changes are you hoping for? What do you expect to see from the Steelers offense against the Jets?
Oh, man. You know, we just got to convert this horrific, you know, going 1 of 9 on third down against the Cleveland Browns. I mean, you can't stay on the field and really get anything done. As we talked about last week, Mr. Trubisky, I said he was going to take efforts down the field when hearing him mentioning he didn't do it the year prior to the week prior to that. Excuse me. So, you know, you hope that he can continue that effort. But most importantly, in order to have a legitimate opportunity to get in the end zone, you know, the rushing game has to develop a little bit more. We have to become a little bit more stubborn with that to get control of the line of scrimmage, in my opinion, to also just continue the efforts of getting the football down the football field. And Mitchell Trubisky didn't turn it over with passing the ball. He didn't throw a passing touchdown last week, but he got one on the ground. So you see the evolution of the efforts coming into play with Mitch Trubisky at quarterback. But, you know, the guys just got to keep playing. You're hearing too much noise about we're not doing this and we're not doing that and from some of the receivers. Guys just got to put their head down and just start playing ball. We don't have time to come up the air and try to figure out where the answers are when all the guys got to do is just play. If they go out and just play ball, defense only had 2 sacks in the last couple weeks. I mean, that's not enough, truthfully. Guys got to put more effort into play. Special teams, let's create some better field position to give the offense an opportunity to get downfield. If all 3 phases of the game can just play a little bit better, I think they'll have an opportunity to play some good football because we saw a Jets football team go on the road in Cleveland and sneak out a win there. So we know with Joe Flacco being a quarterback that they can actually win because he's had opportunities.
He's not going to play, Cordell. They're going to go with Zach Wilson. Flacco's out. Wilson's going to make his debut, yeah. He's going to make his first start here. Yep.
All right. Okay. All right. Let's see what happens there. But still, we know this team's capable of winning, though, is my thing. He's capable of winning. So the question becomes,
does that make you feel better or worse about the game? Hearing Zach Wilson, does that make you feel better or worse about the Steelers' chances, Cordell?
I don't think it has nothing to do with who starts at quarterback. I think it has to do with the home team. It's the home team. Can they come out and get a fast start and score a touchdown as opposed to kicking field goals? Can a defense get a stop? Stop giving up big plays on third downs and allow catches to seem easy and not applying pressure. T.J. Watt is needed, all right, because they're not getting any pressure on the quarterback. So if you give somebody an opportunity to sit back there, you 2 guys can sit back there and make some throws. I'm just saying, it can happen.
True.
So, you know, you guys believed in that stuff too, didn't you? You agree with me, didn't you? That's the great. But, you know, it's just you have to be able to apply the pressure and just play still the football. You know, and I think the fan base is going to be excited to see the Steelers come back home this weekend and hope they can actually play a little bit more aggressive and physical and allow the music and all the fun stuff in that stadium to be the 12th man, if you will, in the stadium.
Cordell, so one of the things that's been notable about this offense in a bad way is just they have really scuffled badly on third down the last 2 weeks, and it hasn't been like they've been in 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, you know, these situations down in distance where the defense has the clear advantage. They've had 3rd and manageable, people like to call it. So what's kind of the secret sauce? What are reasons why a team isn't getting 3rd and reasonable conversions? And what are things that they can do better that can help them on 3rd down? What's the secret kind of, crack the code for us to help the Steelers make that a little bit better?
Well, just keep it 3rd and manageable. You know, I think if you could keep the game 3rd and manageable, here's the key, and I told you guys this last week. Managing the game is not about making always the biggest play. It's just making sure you don't have to deal with negative plays. Because if you don't have to deal with negative plays, you stay ahead of down and distance and you're dealing with manageable situations. If you're not dealing with manageable situations, whether it be penalties or whatever the case may be, and you're just, you know, if it's Mitch stepping up in the pocket and it's wide open, I don't care if the dude is open. If there's no one in front of you, just take off and run. Now you cause the linebackers to have to defend him too as well. It's not seeing him trying to make the throws down the field to accommodate the feeling of a fan base or anyone around him. Just play the game and just make those plays. And I think on 3rd down, he
So you want to see him run the ball more. He's not running it, Cordell. Only 2 rushing attempts last game. That's it.
And that's my point. And that's why I'm saying it. If he steps up in the pocket, as we saw last week against Cleveland, it was a couple of times he stepped up and he still tried to make the throw. And it was short. It was 3rd and medium. Just get going. And I'm not saying it's because I'm an at-home quarterback. I'm saying it because I've done it before. If you see there's some light, go and take run where the light is taking you, and that's an open space, and then now you cause the defense to have to be afraid of just dropping back in coverage to where now you're going to find those open windows, those windows of opportunities and those dink and dunk, throwing it over the top of the head of the linebacker sometimes. So it's just being in manageable situations. The offensive coordinator can't call everything perfect all the time. It's not going to happen. The players have to make the plays, and they have to take it upon themselves to say, you know what, we're going to make it work regardless of what's being called. It's our responsibility. And I think sometimes when that happens, that's when the maturation process kicks in for those players. And then they
would
start
you have to do stuff like that? I mean, when you say the offensive coordinator, we got to take it upon ourselves. What's that mean, Cordell? A play call comes in and you do something different, or what do you mean by that?
No, what happens is it's not always going to happen the way it's called or how it's drawn up. Sometimes you have to make the – Ben Roethlisberger was about as good as it got when it came down to taking plays and making it work. You know, and that's what you have to do sometimes. It's not going to always be 1, 2, 3, get the ball out to this guy. It's not going to be handoff going up to the four hold on the right-hand side to Najee Harris, and it's just going to go through the hole. No, sometimes it's going to be a cutback, and guys going to have to finish blocks. You know, sometimes it's going to be a throw that's made down the field, and one of the receivers may fumble it, but because of the hustle of the wide receivers and the offensive linemen, they can actually recover the fumble if it happens. So it's just being able to be a player. These guys are in the National Football League. These are good football players. Some are great. But if you don't make those plays happen via your will, then you're just relying on a coach. Now you have the fan base, you guys and everyone else say, well, they need to call better plays. No, players make the play. That's how I was taught the game. That's how we played it when I was there. We sometimes had to override coaching in a sense, not going against it, being with it, but having to allow our talents to take over, to impose our will on the games. I mean, let's just, before you guys ask another question, I remember going back playing against the Baltimore Ravens back when we were playing, when we had those rivals. They knew we was running to the tight end side with Jerome Bettis and John Whitman and Danny Crowder with Jerome Bettis leading the helm. They knew we was coming to the open. They had everyone over to that side. But guess what? We were stubborn enough to keep on going, and we kept running, and they kept running until we broke their will. But if you don't have that mentality of saying you're not going to stop us, and you don't just become stubborn with your approach, you're playing into the hands of the defense or you're playing into the hands of their offense. And I know that's not what we're trying to do, but it's just players having in their mind that, hey, it may not be working, but we're going to make this thing work. Hines Ward, let's go bust Ed Reed upside his head or Rod Woodson when they come down the hole to try to block Jerome. Make those guys understand that they have to deal with the receivers on the outside. See, that's that physical it factor that you can't talk about on the radio. That's the stuff you have to see happen organically by the players that want to get it done. And if they want to win the game, they're going to have to go out and take it because no one's going to give it to them because they have the single logo, the single badge on side the helmet, and they're called the Pittsburgh Steelers and the history that goes behind it. You have to go take it. And if you don't go take it, they're going to nicely take it away from you. And before you know it, we're going to end up losing another one. But I don't think that's going to happen this week.
Cordell, one of the things Matt Canada said this week was that he feels like they've made the necessary changes to their offense that, like, you know, hey, this happened. So how much week to week, like when you were quarterbacking and you guys knew you did need to make some coaching adjustments, some scheme adjustments, how much would really change week to week? How much new stuff could you install? How many tweaks could realistically be made from one game to the next? What was that like?
Well, first of all, you have to find out what's your identity, right? Right, and you don't necessarily make changes. You just refine what you're doing, and sometimes create the illusion that certain things are about to happen. And so, you know, if you're changing every single week, then you have no identity. But sometimes you have to be able to go out and, you know, make some adjustments. But I don't like the word change because you are who you are, and the question becomes, what's the identity? And right now,
what is their identity offensively, Cordell? What is it?
I have no idea. It's just trying to make plays is what it looks like.
I don't think they know either. Chase Claypool said he didn't think they had an identity.
Yeah, they've said that a few times.
And that's the thing. It's once you can find an identity, I think that's when the term change doesn't really have that much ramifications, if you will, when it comes to quote-unquote changes, because you know what you're getting ready to see. You know what's getting ready to happen. What's the wrinkle that you add into? What sprinkle of pepper that you put on top of it to spice it up a little bit? You don't want to change.
Cordell,
do
the Steelers look like a physical offense to you? You said be physical. That's what you guys were. Do they look physical to you so far?
Well, it's a different game. It's a totally different game. You know, back in the day, we had fullbacks and tailbacks, and I was out running, you know, rushing for 60, 70 yards, and Jerome was running over everybody, and fullbacks were getting the ball. Hines Ward would get reverses and Troy. You know, that's not what they're doing right now. You know, it's more drop back, one back offense. So the physicality is a little different in a sense of what we did back then compared to now. So it's two different games. But you still can be stubborn in your approach with what you do to the point where you can identify the identity of this team. And right now, offensively, you see what they're trying to do and trying to develop, which is establish the run, but yet at the same time being able to get these good receivers on the outside an opportunity with their size and their speed, an opportunity to get the balls in their hand. But if that's not working, then what do we go to? And that's what I lean as a former quarterback on Mitch Trubisky and say, hey, bro, tuck that thing and run. Go north.
Who's the guy that you would want to get the ball to? Who's the playmaker that you look at on the Steelers' offense and you would say, this is our number one weapon? This is the guy we got to take advantage of and use the most.
Who's ever's open? I never got caught up into my favorite guy. I got caught up into what the coverage allowed me to do and who was open. Because, see, when you fall into that trap, then that's when the turnovers come, right? And then that's when any quarterback on a team gets caught. And now all of a sudden you have to play from behind even more than what the game naturally will cause you to have to do. So it's not about one player. It's who's open. And if you can identify that pre-snap read and as you're dropping back, you can find him and then throw it with anticipation because you trust what's going on, then that's when you'll be able to see the ball coming out fast and quick and not having to wait. And sometimes, you know, because this is a new system and Mitch is trying to figure it out, you know, it's going to take some time. I mean, that still was a good game last week. They still was in the game. You know, of course, that last touchdown they got was just, you know, that was just, you know, that was the game.
Well, that screwed everybody's bets. We're at the Rivers. That messed up everybody's bets, Cordell.
Yeah, that was very consequential for certain people.
Well, I tell you what, you know, for you gamblers and bettors out there, you know, there's been a couple weeks of that stuff. You know, even going back to the KC game in the last minute of that touchdown, I'm sitting here looking at this with the spread because I'm learning this stuff because I do this stuff on our show that we have called, we call Believe Me. We have that on the Believe Network that we're going to have televised starting this next week. But, you know, with the bettors and all that great stuff, man, it's crazy how you learn everything and you see what's happening. It makes you sit back and be like, they're 7 points. No way possible they could have scored right there. This was supposed to end right like this, but all of a sudden they end up scoring, and before you know it, the spread is 4.5 in favor of the Steelers, and all of a sudden now they end up winning by, you know, let's just say 2 points less, and then all of a sudden it's not the spread, it's different now.
Yep.
So it's a whole different ball game when it comes to the betting side, and I don't like betting too much, but it's still fun to hear about it.
Cordell, one of the things, so you said, like, throw the receiver who's open, don't lock on to a particular target. Was it something you always had to watch for, like when you were playing or when you watch other quarterbacks play even, that they would lock on to a particular part of the field? Mitch Trubisky, maybe. He doesn't want to go middle of the field. Like you just said, he's still learning the offense. Did you ever notice when you were playing that you might have said, I'm throwing outside the numbers a lot. Maybe I want to look back and make a conscious effort here to scan other parts of the field sometimes?
Well, truth be told, when I was playing, because I played wide receiver and then played quarterback in the league, people never really honored, per se, us throwing a football. So we got cover three all the time. You know, and we still ran the ball and we still did play action pass and we still, you know, drop back pass. So we would get all varieties, right? Sometimes we get single high man, eighth guy in the box. Sometimes we'll get two man, you know, very seldom, but we had a spy on me sometimes, or we just got a traditional cover three where the safety rolls down to the strong side or weak side, which we call four sky. He would roll to the weak side, and I just throw opposite of rotation. That was plain and simple. You know, you throw away from rotation because that's the athlete that's dropping down in coverage. You throw it on a linebacker. You let him have to make something happen with his stiff hips and his slow feet moving in comparison to that free safety or the strong safety, and you go ahead and make some throws. And that's how the game was played back then. It's still similar now because you spread it out a little bit more and you cause the defense to be a little thin in the inside, and you put a little pressure on the coverage per se. But that's how we approached it when I was playing, which was you throw away from rotation or you find a weakness in the defense and have go with the matchup issues. You know, if my tight end, Mark Bruner, is going to get the linebacker that's a little bit shorter or even a strong safety for the sake of conversation who is shorter, throw it at his highest point, let his body shield him off, put it in a place where only he can catch it. Before you know it, that's an easy completion or even a touchdown. So, you know, if they can find those matchups, you know, and find that rotation and the feeling of where the, the difficulties are with these defenders being able to cover, and then you throw it to the guy that's open, more times than not, trusting that the receiver is going to run a disciplined route to shield off that receiver from actually breaking on the ball when the ball's in the air and throw it blindly, so to speak, that's anticipation, then that's when you'll see this offense actually start clicking. But again, they're still working on it. You know, they're still marinating in the crock pot a little bit, trying to figure this thing out. And I think as time progresses, you know, something's going to have to done. Either they're going to have to start winning, or I anticipate seeing some change in the near future when it comes down to it.
Cordell, you're coming to the game on Sunday. It sounds like you anticipate seeing a win. Are you getting together with a bunch of your former teammates? What's going on? What are you guys doing?
Well, I have to do some autograph signing at in lot five, the red lot. I have to do some autographs in the morning from 9:30 till about 10:30, 11 o'clock or so. And then I have to do some podcast work with the Steelers when I get in town, and then I get a chance to go and watch a good game to see us actually try to get this dub against the Jets.
When was the last time you were in town for a game?
Ooh, I would say maybe 3 or 4 years ago, maybe when the Steelers played against New England.
Oh, all right.
Played against New England, and that was a good time. Saw Jason Gildon, and Lethon Flowers was in town, Plexico Burris was in town, Amos Zerwe was in town, J.D. Jerome was in town. So I had a chance to see some of the older guys and some of the guys that I actually Mel Blount was there, too, as well. Of course, Franco was around. So, you know, you get a chance to see the older guys and see the guys you played with. And, you know, being back in the city is always good. I won't lie to you. Bring back some fond memories, and it's good to see the fans still enjoying the Steelers. And it's no football like Steelers football when it comes to pro football, guys. I'm here in Atlanta. I got to be honest with you. You know, they got some diehards here, but I'm like, you haven't seen a real game until either they travel to you, but most importantly, when you go back into Pittsburgh and play in that stadium. I don't know the name. I don't want to screw it up. How do you say the new name of the stadium?
Acrisure.
Acrisure, the Acrisure Stadium, which was Heinz Field at the time when I was there. But if you get a chance to go see that against whether it's a rival like the Ravens or the Cleveland Browns to even your team, you'll get a chance to see some real enthusiasm and some excitement when it comes down to some real love and a love affair for a team in town.
Cordell, enjoy your return trip to Pittsburgh, and we'll talk again next week. Okay, buddy?
Have fun, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.